Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Are you blessed this morning?
Yes.
I don't know. I'm not convinced. Let me ask you again. Are you blessed this morning?
Yes.
Amen. It's a privilege to see your smiling faces this morning. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be in the house of God. I'm glad to be able to spend this precious Sabbath day with you all. My name is Wesley. It's a little bit different, not Wesley, but Wesley. And I don't mind if you get it wrong. If you get it wrong, it's fine. You can call me Wes. That's easier. But I'm from, as Josh said, I work for the Hawaii Conference as the Literature Ministries Director. And I have come from California. I've only been here in Hawaii for about 6 months now. But I've enjoyed my time thus far. I grew up in California. Any of you know of the Loma Linda, San Bernardino area? Some of us do. That's where I grew up, in San Bernardino. My grandmother still lives in Loma Linda, had a lot of great memories there, lived there from age 0 to age 16, and then moved to Northern California, where my parents live now. And I've been here in Hawaii since September. And do you guys like Hawaii? Is it pretty nice here? Yeah, I tend to like it as well. It's been a blessing being here and enjoying this God's beautiful nature here. As I said before, I'm the Literature Ministries Director for the conference, and basically I do generally three things, and I'm really excited about what God is doing in these three avenues of ministry. The first avenue, obviously, is literature, and we work with students, young people in the summer, and we go from door to door, knocking on doors, putting Christian literature into homes. Any of you have ever heard of co-porter work before? The canvassing work. Some of you have. Any of you have done it before? Yes, some more hands. Praise the Lord. I love literature evangelism. I love knocking on doors. I love seeing people give their hearts to Christ. I love seeing people turn from darkness to light. I'll have to share one story about that. One day I was knocking on doors in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I was not doing only doors. I was knocking on businesses. So I was walking down this one strip of businesses. And I was walking down the street, and people were pretty friendly, and I was getting books out here and there. And I came to a bar. And I was like, oh, I shouldn't go into the bar. The bar, you know, was people drinking and people smoking, and they probably won't want what I have to offer. But so I walked past. And I go past the bar. It was the last business on that strip of businesses. I walk past, keep on going, and I hear this impression in my heart and in my mind saying, Wesley, you need to go back to that bar. And I was like, Lord, is that really you? Is that you speaking to me? No, it couldn't be the Lord. I just kept on going. Then once again, I heard another impression. Wesley, go back to that bar. There's someone there that needs to understand who Christ is. And so I can't avoid the conviction. I walk back to the bar. I go inside. I speak to the bartender. And she says, yes, you can go ahead and share. But I don't think anyone here will want what you have to offer. And so I went and started talking to the first person. He said, no, I'm not interested in that stuff. The next person, what are you doing in here? Why are you here? I'm not interested. The next person, the same response. But I came to two ladies that were at the end. And by this time, the bartender was saying, I told you they wouldn't want it. But I came to the last person, that there's two ladies sitting there, and I began to talk to them about the books that we had. And I showed her one of the books that was called Peace Above the Storm. It's Steps to Christ. And I showed her that book, and as I began talking to her about it and sharing with her, tears began to come to her eyes as she began to share how she had been a Christian. And she had gotten in a divorce, and how her heart was so burdened, and she was so hurting because she had left the church and left God because people had looked down upon her for being in a divorce. She left the church, she started working at a bar herself, being a bartender, and she did not think that God would accept her. And I was able to tell her, no, God does accept you, amen? God loves you more than anything else in the world. And this book right here that you have in your hand, it speaks about a God of love who, no matter what you've done and no matter what you've become, he wants to draw you back to himself. And she said, I want this book. I want to know Christ better. I want to begin my relationship with God once again. Amen? Those are the types of experiences we have knocking on doors. Amen? And so for the first time in 7 years, we're going to have a conference-run literature evangelism program here in Hawaii. Amen? It's called Hawaii Youth Rush. We're going to gather students from all over the islands and also the mainland, and we're going to be canvassing the entire island this year of Oahu. Next year, we plan on coming to the neighboring islands as well and canvassing, and this program is for students ages 14 and above. It can be as old as whatever. Anyone can come, but as old as at least 14. And it's a great time of fellowship, of learning more about the Bible, and of sharing our precious message with others. Amen? Now, I don't know about you guys, but I want to share this message. Amen? It's so powerful and so beautiful. And God, there's so many people that are in darkness. And God wants to give them the light. So that's number one. I run the student program. Number two, I work with Bible workers and evangelism. How many of you heard of Bible workers before? Many churches we go into don't know what a Bible worker is. But we have Bible workers that go into the churches and they start Bible studies with individuals in the communities. And they begin to knock on doors and find interest and study the Bible. And we are involved in doing that. We just had 10 Bible workers on Oahu. And we conducted 3 evangelistic series simultaneously. One in Haula, one in Waianae, Uncle Thomas was there, and one also in Kaneohe at that church. And God blessed in a marvelous and powerful way. There are so many souls that made decisions for baptism. I can tell you story after story after story about what God has done in those last few months and how God's brought people into his fold through the method of public evangelism and Bible workers. So I coordinate that program. And I'm excited because next year, we're going to bring students over here to this area, to the Big Island, to work in this church, Bible workers, to knock on doors, to find interest, and to run an evangelistic series right here in Pune. Amen? Looking forward to that. This year, we had about 39 decisions for baptism. Praise God. And we're looking to increase and increase as God continues to give us the ability to do so. So first, I work with the student program. Second, I work with coordinating evangelism and Bible work. And number three, I am the GLOW director for the Hawaii Conference. Now, how many of you have heard of GLOW? A few less hands. Today, everyone will understand what GLOW is by God's grace. And I'm going to speak mostly about that this morning. And I look forward to getting to know each and every one of you in a deeper way. Amen? I've already felt like family being here. I was picked up by my friend there and his wife, and met here at the church by Uncle Miles, and talked to him for a while, took me to the store, and I already feel like family here, amen? And it's a blessing to be here. I look forward to getting to know each and every one of you better as well. Before we open the Word of God this morning, I would not open the Word of God without prayer. So let's bow our heads together as we commence this morning. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for your word, dear God. We thank you so much for the instruction you give to us therein and for the salvation we find in Christ. We thank you for Jesus, Lord, and what he's done for us upon the cross. We thank you for the salvation we find in him and how we can also share that salvation with those that we come in contact with. Dear God, I pray that you would bring your spirit into this message, Lord. May my speech and my preaching, may it not be with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the spirit and of power. May you hide me behind the cross of Calvary, Lord, and may you be seen, may you be felt, and may you be heard, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. GLOW. Heal the nations. GLOW, heal the nations. Now, as I go through this presentation, I might ask you guys questions. Is that okay? Will I get a response? Yes or no? Yes. Praise the Lord. Good. We're going to go through this presentation, and I really want you to pay close attention. This is not going to be so much a sermon, but more of a training on how you can share your faith more effectively with this community here in Pune. Amen? GLOW, heal the nations. There was a friend that I had. His name is Nelson Ernst. Any of you heard of him before? Nelson Ernst. No, good. That's okay. He was knocking on. Actually, he told the story about how. Let me begin back somewhere else. I went to school at a school called Souls West. Any of you heard of that school before? A few of you. I went to school at Souls West. Any of you heard of Taj Pakula before? Yes, he's a local guy from Hawaii here. He went to Souls West as well, and I went to that school. And that school is located in. Anyone know? Arizona, that's right. And in Arizona, they have a state fair every year. And at this state fair, About a million people show up and come to the fair and participate in the festivities and such. And one man decided that he wanted to do something special. He wanted to serve God in a special way at this state fair. So he decided he was going to go to the gate, and when people exited the fair, he would give them all books, literature. He gave them the book called The National Sunday Law. Some of you heard of that book before. He gave everyone that he could that one of those books as he left. And he passed out about 8,000 of those books that year. Well, one person that received one of those books, he got the book, he went to his car and began to read the book. And as he's driving home, looking at the book, he said, oh, this is terrible. He threw it out the window. Now you might think, oh, that was a waste. Why? I mean, whatever, you know, that was a seed that was sown, but it did not come to fruition. Well, that book actually landed on a young man named Aaron's driveway. And Aaron came out that day, and he saw a book on his driveway, and he picked up that book. And he's like, oh, what is this? And he began to read that book. And he was so intrigued and so enthralled by this book, he could not put it down. He just kept on reading and reading and reading, halfway through, three quarters of the way through, almost done. And by the time he almost finished it, guess what happens? What? No, he wasn't converted yet. He lost the book. He lost the book. He couldn't find it. He turned his house upside down. He went into his car, turned it upside down, but could not find this book, and he was so disappointed. He wanted to hear the end of the story. Well, about 6 months went by. Still hadn't found the book. And my friend Nelson, he comes and knocks on his door. And my friend says, hey, my name is Nelson. I'm a student working on a scholarship. Instead of junk food, we have something more lasting. I'll let you take a look. And puts the book in his hand. And guess what book it was? It was The Great Controversy. Any of you heard of that book before? Amen. All right, so he hands him The Great Controversy. And the man says, hey, or actually, my friend Nelson begins describing this book to him. And Aaron is standing there kind of like, you know, he was like, a cucumber could have been more interested in the book than he was. Not interested at all. Not at all. And so my friend says, okay, I got to approach this a different way. And so he goes about it a little bit differently, tries to make friends with him, talks to him about his background, about his religious background. And the man says, yes, I used to go to church. You know, I used to be a Catholic. And but there was, you know, just too much. I didn't understand the whole priest thing and confessing to a priest. And then I went to a Protestant church, and it was like, you know, just hypocrisy and things like that. So I really have not found a place where I want to be spiritually. But then he said, you know, but you got to watch out for this one group. There's a certain group of people that you have to watch out for, and they're called, I think, what's the name of those people? That you got to watch for these. They're they'll get you. Watch for these individuals. I just forgot the name. Seventh-day activists. Seventh-day activists, yeah, that was the one. You got to watch out for them. And my friend said, what? Seventh-day activists? Do you mean Seventh-day Adventists? And he was like, oh, yeah, Seventh-day Adventists. That's right. And so my friend said, well, what do you know about them? Have you had run-ins? Have you had a connection with them? Or he's like, yeah, I read this book. It was called The National Sunday Law, and it was talking about the mark of the beast and Revelation and prophecy and all these things. And I was like, well, what did you think? Did you think it was like a little bit over the edge, or was it, you know, extreme, fanatical? He was like, no, it was all from the Bible. And I loved it, but I lost the book. And my friend said, well, today's your lucky day, because I'm one of those Seventh-day activists, Seventh-day Adventists. And I have the book just for you. If you like that book, you'll love this one. And he put The Great Controversy back in his hand, and the guy just held it to himself. This book, it talks about the same things, about the Bible and the end of time, and yes, the same things. And the man said, I'll take it. Whatever the price, I want this book. I want to know what God has in store for me in these last days. Amen? Now, do you think he read that book? I think he probably did. Amen? Because he wanted to know what was going on. You know, as I think about that story, I wish that Seventh-day Adventists were thought of more as Seventh-day what? Activists. I wish that we as a body of believers were thought of more as a people that would knock on doors, or people that would share our faith or be actively sharing Christ with those we come in contact with. Amen? Beloved, I believe we're not simply a church here as a Seventh-day Adventist church, but we are a Seventh-day Adventist movement. Amen? And in order to be a movement, you have to be moving, amen? And God is wanting us as his people to be an active movement for his cause. You see, the cause of the enemy, they're moving. The cause of the destruction, they're moving. Actually, the other religious groups are moving. They're doing things, even this group here. This is called the European Sunday Alliance. Any of you ever heard of this before? European Sunday Alliance. This is a group of trade unions and religious individuals and bishops and people coming together saying, we need to have a Sunday as a day of rest, as a day that's free, as a day for family. We need to have this. And they call for what? They're calling for what? They're calling for action. We want to have Sundays our day of rest. Sundays our day of worship and free for the family. And we're calling for action on March 3rd or March 4th. They all went out and they had posters and placards and they were demonstrating how they wanted to have Sunday as their day of rest and their day of family. Beloved, God is saying to us, if they are being active, how can we not be active ourselves? Amen? Beloved, this is prophecy fulfilling before our very eyes. And God is saying to us, will we listen to Christ and go forward as he has called us to? Now, has God called us to be active? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes, he has. Amen? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, looking at verse 19 and 20, go therefore and do what? Teach how many? All nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe how many things? All things that I have said to you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So God said, I want you to go. I want you to be active. I want you to share your faith with other people. Oftentimes, we can share our faith in a passive way. Like yesterday, when I was on the plane coming here, a guy came in and sat next to me on the plane. Actually, I came in and sat next to him. And I began to talk to him a little bit, and I gave him, he asked me what I do for a living. So I told him I work with a ministry, and I pulled out a glow track, and I gave it to him. This is it. Look at this. You can read it when you get a chance. And he took, oh, wow, this is cool. And he talked a little bit, and he read the tract, and he liked it. Amen? I didn't have to go to him. He was right there. Amen? But God is calling us to go to individuals and to share his light with others. The Great Commission. We all know, we all have heard about it, but what are we doing about it? That is the question. God said to go, and he also said to glow. The Bible says here, you are the what? The what? You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so God is saying, I want you to go, and I want you to glow. I want you to shine as a light for this dark and sinful world. Beloved, God, As I've been a Christian for these last 7 years, God has shown me so much how individuals are in such darkness. And I myself, knowing that I was in darkness as well. And God is saying, you have such great light, such great understanding. Will you not share it with those that you come in contact with? Christ said to glow. But I'm not ready. I don't know how to give a Bible study. I don't know how to preach a sermon. I don't know how to go knock on doors and share literature with those that I come in contact with. Well, God has said that we can pray about that first. Amen? If we don't know how to do something, we can ask. Amen? We can ask the Lord. Jesus is praying. Let's turn our Bibles. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's go in our Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. Actually, we'll begin verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, looking at verse 35. We have our Bibles, amen? Amen. Amen. We need the Word of God. The Word of God is of vital importance to us. We're in Matthew chapter 9, looking at verse 35. When you get there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says there in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with what? Compassion for them. because they were weary and scattered like sheep not having a shepherd. So we see Christ here, and he's healing, and he's preaching, and he's teaching the people. And as he sees the people, his heart is moved with compassion. Because he sees that there are people here, and they're like sheep not having a shepherd. And then it says in verse 37, then Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are what? The laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. You see, the problem that Christ is demonstrating here is not that there's not enough people to witness to, right? There's plenty of those. The harvest indeed is plenteous. There's plenty of people in this world that need salvation, plenty of people in this world that need light, that need Christ, that are suffering and dying. But God is saying, the problem that I have is I don't have enough laborers. So pray. And that word pray, that word is more than just a simple prayer, say, for your lunch or for your dinner or before you go to bed. This prayer that is being talked about here in the original Greek is a prayer of begging, of entreating, of pleading with God for laborers. And God wants each and every one of us to be laborers. Amen? He's calling us because the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So Christ says to pray first. You're scared. I don't know how to witness. I don't know how to share. But Christ says to pray. Now, does he only say to pray, or does he say to do something else? Is it only praying? Prayer is important, right? For sure it is. But is that all that he wanted them to do? Well, look at the next verse. Chapter 10 and verse 1. Chapter 10 and verse 1. We're there? Amen? The Bible says, and when he had called his 12 disciples, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. And then verse 5 says, these 12, Jesus did what to? Did what? Sent them out. He sent them out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles. And I do not and do not enter the city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost house of the sheep of Israel. So Christ not only said to pray, yes, I want you to pray for laborers and pray for more people to come into the harvest field, but most importantly, I'm gonna ask you to pray and then ask you to be sent out to the lost world. First, the lost house of Israel, and then the rest of the world as well. I'm gonna send you out to go and to save these people, because I have compassion on them. I love them. I care for them. They're dying, and I need you to go out and give the message that I want to present to them. That's what Christ is saying. That's what God wants us to do. Prayer first, and then action. Amen? Prayer first, and then action. I believe, personally, as a preacher, as an evangelist, that we've had too much preaching. We don't need so much preaching. We need more active evangelism. Amen? Oh, that was weak, y'all. I ain't gonna lie. That was weak. Woo-hoo. We need more active evangelism. Amen? Amen? Amen. The Lord is asking us not to simply have sermons and those kind of things, but action is needed. We've had enough preaching. Enough preaching is time for action. Listen to this quote. I love this quote from the Spirit of Prophecy. The best, the what? The best help that ministers can give their members of our churches is not what? Is not sermonizing, but what? Planning work for them. Give each one something to do for others, and then all be taught how to what? How to work. God is saying the best thing you can do is not simply preach a sermon, but plan how we can evangelize and work this area to bring more souls into the kingdom of heaven. Amen? That's what God wants us to do. But the question is, how do we do it? How do we do it? Well, I'm going to share with you this morning one simple way. In these next few minutes, before we close, I'm going to share some practical ways of how to share the gospel and how to be a laborer in Christ's field in an effective way. And that way, this is one of the ways, is through GLOW. Now, GLOW is these little pocket tracks here that I have, and they're very small. There's about 8 panels, and they contain scripture. and they contain a message about salvation, a message about the great controversy, a message about why does God allow suffering, all kinds of different messages. We have about 14 of them. And in fact, we have all these tracts right now for you to take with you outside the door so you can take them when you leave. These are called glow tracts, and anyone, literally, how many? Anyone can participate as a glower or as a person that glows for Jesus, even this little child. Now, we have little kids that go out and glow. My sister, she's 8 years old right now, and she oftentimes has gone with me to pass out glow tracts to individuals wherever we go. Other people passing out glow at the workplace, wherever they go, just using glow as a tool to witness for others. As I said before, there's many different glow tracts. As you see there, that's a few of them. We have one here is about salvation. This is about twilight. I have a good story about that one. This is about prayer here, about the end of the world, about the Sabbath, return to rest. Many different kinds of tracts that people can read and be changed by. And so on the back of these tracts is some information. We have how they can go online and request more literature or also request a Bible study plan. Just a couple weeks ago, we had someone call into my office saying, "Hey, Wesley, I got one of these glow tracts. I found it on the floor or something like that, on the ground, and I really want to receive Bible studies. Please, as soon as you can, send me these Bible studies because I want to know more about the Bible." Amen? So people can, that's on the back of the panel. The number on the back goes to my office in Honolulu, and when I get the call, I call the pastor up and say, "Hey, pastor, we got some people that want Bible studies. Please, can you follow up this interest for us?" So those are glow tracts right there, and you can all see them and hold them for yourself as we exit the building today. Now, the question is, how can you use this? How can you actively share literature with others? Well, I'm going to share some stories with you. If you want, I encourage you to write some of these things down. It's going to be a little bit of a list of ways to share glow. Some of them are very easy. Actually, all of them are very easy. But let's go into them right now. So how do we glow? Number one, while doing weekly errands or in the grocery store, Walmart, etc. One time, and you can do this literally anywhere at all. One day, a young man, he had a young family. He went into the Walmart parking lot. And when he went into the parking lot, he got his little cart, and in the cart was some what appeared to be trash, right? Like, a little bit of paper there. And he picked it up and got ready to throw it away. But then he's like, "Oh, what is this?" And he began to read it. And it was a tract about, guess what? The Sabbath. And he's like, "Oh, wow, this is amazing. This is amazing information. I really want to learn more about the Sabbath." So he went home, got on the phone and called. "Hey, I received this tract at Walmart in my cart, and I really want to get Bible studies about, knowing more about the Sabbath." And of course, we're like, "Okay, great, praise God. We'll definitely get you Bible studies." But then the man said, "That's not the most amazing part. The most amazing thing is that I was actually, just yesterday, my little 10-year-old son, he came home from vacation Bible school. And he said, 'Mom and Dad, I was at vacation Bible school today, and they were teaching us about the commandments of God, about the first commandment, the second commandment, the fourth commandment. And one of them we don't follow, Mom and Dad. The fourth commandment says to worship on the Sabbath day. Why don't we worship on the Sabbath?'" And the mom and dad were like, "Well, son, we don't really know why." So they got down on their knees that very night and they prayed, "God, please give us understanding about what the Sabbath is and how to keep it holy." And the very next day, he goes to Walmart, he gets a card, and in that card is a tract about, guess what? The Sabbath. Amen? God knows how to work things out. And that was not even someone giving another person a tract. It was simply someone leaving a tract in the cart. Amen? Can any of you do that? That's pretty easy, right? Any of us can do that. And God is saying that even that can be used for him. So leaving them at the store when you go to the store or at the cart, in a cart. The next one. At a gas station. I always leave tracks at gas stations. Whenever I go, when you get gas, you have to pick up the handle and put it in the car, right? So what I do when I finish pumping my gas, I put the little track right in the handle for the person, the next person to come. And I just leave it there for them. I'll just fold it nicely, like curl it up, and right there. And the next person can come and get it. And, "Oh, wow, what's that? Praise the Lord, salvation." And amen? And so you can leave it anywhere. I always leave it at gas stations, another place. at restaurants. Whenever I go to a restaurant, I always, as my tip, I give them, of course, a nice tip or whatever, and I also leave them with one of these glow tracks as a tip. And one day, my friend, he was at the Macaroni Grill or something, some restaurant like that, and the person that was waiting on him looked kind of sad that day. And he asked him, "Are you okay? Is everything all right in your life?" And she was like, "No, it's not. This is the 1-year anniversary of my cousin dying, and I'm very sad today." And she began to cry right there in the middle of the restaurant. And my friend was like, "Oh, what do I do?" You know, they're crying in the restaurant. As guys, we don't know how to handle that very well. You know, when ladies cry, it's like it's hard for us to deal with that. And so he didn't know what to do. And so he's like, "Okay, I have a glow track. Let me just pull one out." And he pulled out a glow track from his pocket, and guess which one it was? It was, "Does God care that I'm hurting?" And he gave it to her. He's like, "Oh, thank you so much. And I really need some encouragement right now. I really appreciate that." And she took it, and she felt a little bit better from that. So at restaurants, it's a good place to share glow with individuals. And bill payments through the mail. Amen? Yes. My grandmother is a faithful glower. She does not get out very often. She's a little bit older, and she doesn't go out very many places. But she always puts glow in every single piece of mail that she sends out. Every time. And they get it, and praise God, that's salvation for them. Giving them the opportunity, amen, to know Christ. Also, how many of you get credit card advertisements in the mail? I know I do. Almost every time I get the mail, there was one in there. And you know, whenever they send you those in those advertisements, they always send a return envelope that's already prepaid, amen? Prepaid. So all you gotta do, get the envelope, put the glow inside, and put it back in the mail. Amen? Hey, I tell you what. One of two things is gonna happen. Number one, they'll stop sending the advertisements. Or number two, they'll get baptized. Amen? Hey, one of two options. And so put it in your credit card advertisements. Very easy way, free. Send it back to them. Praise the Lord. Let's see, desk holders. I have a friend that at work, she just puts glow out on her desk. And one day a coworker came out and said, "Hey, I'm having a rough day today. Can I grab one of those that you have on your desk? I've always seen them as I walk by every day, and I feel like I need some encouragement right now. Could I have one of those?" And she took it, and she went back to her desk and read it. And she was so encouraged, she came back and said, can I get one of each one that you have, all of them?" It was such a blessing to read that one. I want to read the rest of them as well. And so simply having it out on her desk was a witness to her coworkers, and they were blessed by that. Amen? So have it as a desk holder. Another one, large gatherings, flea markets, concerts, sporting events. This is an excellent way of distributing glow in a large area. How many of you like shopping? The ladies' hands go up, right? No, on Black Friday, any of you Black Friday shoppers? A few in the back. Okay, great. On Black Friday, the stores are packed with people, and they're so crowded and everything. So we decided what we're going to do, instead of it being Black Friday, it's going to be Light Friday. Amen? We're going to go and glow all these places on Black Friday when there's all these people. So we went to the outlets of the mall, and all the people there, we just started sharing glow with everyone. There was one store. All the stores were packed with people, and so all the lines were super full. So I would just go down the line, the people waiting, and say, "Hey, I have something for you. As you wait, you can read this." And I just give them one of the glow tracks. And I would go down the line, every single person, "Hey, while you wait, you can read this." And give it to everyone. And they were just, "Oh, okay, what's this? Let me read it." And a good way when there's a mass of people there is a good way of sharing glow with the community. So we've done that before as well. Let's see, another one here. I'll skip that one. Oh, on the table. This is a perfect one. This is so easy. There was one person that was so scared, they were so super scared of sharing glow, that they didn't want to give it to a person, like, you know, face to face. So all they wanted to do was, like, just put it on a table. So very discreetly, one day, a lady was, like, she made sure the coast was clear. No one could see her. And she walked down. And then ran away. You know, just leave it on a table. And you want anyone to see you? That's okay. Just leave it there. Leave it on a table. And this person left one on a table somewhere, and the person that picked it up was the county jailer. And he picked it up and said, "Wow, this is amazing." He loved it. He read it. And he called in and said, "Hey, I love this track. I love what you guys are, what you're doing. So would you please send tracts to all of the inmates in the jail? All 900 of them. And so they sent tracts to all of them, and they, hey, that was not enough. We want more. Can you send us more books? So they sent them all Steps to Christ. Amen? And the Lord's just blessing from one person leaving a tract on a table. Amen? Can you do that? Any of you can do that? It's pretty easy. Pretty easy. So leave it on a table. A couple more here. Laundromats are good places to leave glow. People go into laundromats, they have to wait a while, a couple hours or whatever while they're doing their laundry, leave tracts there and go restock it every couple weeks or whatever, and that's a good way of sharing glow as well. Hotel rooms in Gideon Bibles. This is an awesome way of leaving tracts. Whenever I go into a hotel, I try to leave one in the Gideon Bible. One day, got a call, and the guy's like, yeah, I'm in this hotel right now, and I received this tract in my hotel room. And it's a tract about nutrition. And this is the best tract on nutrition I've ever seen in my life. So I want to order 2,000 of these for myself and for myself to distribute. And I'm not a Christian or anything like that, but I really love this nutrition tract that I found in my Gideon Bible. And he was like, this is amazing. And he actually, any of you heard of the show Montel, the talk show? He actually works for them. And he said, yeah, we want to distribute those to all the people that come to this certain one we're going to have about health. So please, we need a bunch of these. And he said, yeah, you know, the reason I called you right now is because I found in my Gideon Bible, but before, earlier today, when I was traveling on the airplane, in front of me, you know where they have those little magazines? In front of me was one of these tracts as well, the same exact one, in the airplane. So I know that there's something going on here, and I really love this tract, and I really want to get more, and I want to share them. Amen? In an airplane, in a hotel, wherever you go, you can put glow tracts, share glow tracts, and people will definitely be blessed. They will be blessed. This is an interesting one. The kids like this one. In the mall, in clothing, you can go around, and if you don't want to give them to somebody, you can just put it in the pocket, you know, and here's one for you. And when they get they take home their clothes, and they're putting them on, like, oh, what's this here? Oh, wow, salvation. Praise the Lord. You know, praise God for that. So you can put it in the clothing at the mall. Kids really like that one. And adults can do it too, I guess. You know, it's cool. Halloween giveaways, trick or truth. Not trick or treat, but trick or truth. Amen. And so we did this year in Honolulu. We went out on Halloween night, and with all the kids, we took them out and went door to door. And it was an awesome time. All the kids had a great time, had a lot of fun passing out tracts to everybody and getting a little bit of candy too, of course. You know, a little bit, not too much. But passing out tracts on Halloween, and we actually got a really powerful Bible study contact from that outreach that day on Halloween night. So the day that the enemy wants to be dark, we can shine light even on that day as well. And so sharing for Halloween. Let's see, what else? Cashiers at stores. I always share glow with cashiers, workers at stores. Like yesterday at Foodland, I went to buy some food for my breakfast, and after I bought my food, I said, hey, this is for you. Take it and read it. You'll like it. And she just took it and said, oh, thank you so much for giving me this. And people love that, you know, just anywhere. And I hardly find people that will ever reject you when you give them a tract with a smile on your face. Amen? One time, a lady was in a grocery store, and she met one of her friends that was a Jehovah's Witness. And she wanted to give her a tract. But she's like, no, I don't want to give her a tract. Let me do this. Let me give her a hug. So she gave her a big hug. I love you. And then I want to give something to you, and gave her the tract, and she took it, amen? And Jehovah's Witnesses don't normally take tracts, but, you know, she showed her the love first, and then gave her the tract, so that was a blessing. but cashiers at stores, that's a good place to leave tracts as well. Those are some of the ideas we have of sharing glow. Now, in order to be effective in glowing, you have to get in the glow mindset. Now, I'm going to share two ways of helping get in that glow mindset. To the place in the house or in the car where you have glow. In my car is right there in the little front panel. I can just grab it as I go into my whatever I'm doing that day. Just put it right there in the car. Or at home, I used to have this little shoe rack. And of course, you put on your shoes before you go outside. Most of us do anyway. I have my glow sitting right on top of that. So whenever I went out the door, oh, there's a glow. Let me take it and go. Number two, pray during your devotional time for divine appointments. This helps you to meet the right people at the right time with the right literature, and it helps you to get in the mindset of a distribution. So praying, like, Lord, before I go out to my day today, would you please bring me in contact with a person that needs to receive this tract? There's people that are hurting in the world, and I don't even know who those people are all the time. but leading you to that right person that needs to understand more of your life. And God will answer that prayer every time. He will. I'm sure He will. I'll share a couple of stories before as I close about that. One lady, she was in Arizona, and she heard a presentation similar to this one. And she said, you know what? I have to do this. I have to do this. I'm going to take GLOW with me wherever I go, and I'm going to share it. So she went to her bed in the morning. She prayed, Lord, please guide me to the right people to share tracts with them. So she got up that day, and she went off to the bus, off to her day. So she's sitting down there at the bus, on the bus, and all of a sudden, a person comes and sits right next to her. And she feels this impression, what? Give this man a tract. And she's like, no way. I can't do it. There's no way I can do this. This is not possible. This is so scary. And she's like, no, I can't do it, Lord. And so she doesn't do it. And then again, the impression comes back 5 minutes later. Please, give the man a tract. Oh, Lord, I can't do it. I can't. She's, you know, thinking in her mind. 10 minutes go by, 20 minutes go by, and he's about to get off the bus. And she's getting up. She's like, okay, I'll do it, Lord. She pulls up the tract and she gives it to him. Hey, take a look at this. And he opens it up, and it's like tears are beginning to come to his eyes. He was like, I was just praying as I was sitting right here that if God did not want me to commit suicide, that he showed me that he cares about me. And the very tract that you gave me was entitled, Does God Care That I'm Hurting? And I really believe that God is caring for me and he does not want me to commit suicide and he has a purpose for my life today. You see, that man got on that bus depressed, discouraged, ready to commit suicide, but he left that bus with hope, with light, and the knowledge that God did care for him. Amen? One little lady who wanted to share a track. Amen? There's another person here. A lady that was grieving at Walmart. This is actually on the Big Island here. I think it was here in Hilo, actually, at Walmart. There's a Walmart here, right? Yeah. She called in, actually, or she emailed in. And she was like, you know what? I got this track. I was sitting there at Walmart, just sitting down, just depressed, crying. And some man just came to me, and he gave me a track. And I was so thankful for it. And I didn't know who he was, really. I had seen him before around town, but I didn't really know who he was. He gave me a track, and it just gave me such hope. And, you know, because of that hope that I received from receiving that track, I want to also order tracks from you so I can share these with other people. Amen? And she's not Adventist. She's, you know, some other denomination. But she just wanted to share the light that had been given into her heart. There's another individual. There's so many stories. I mean, so many stories I could share with you. I've got a couple more. Luis, he emailed in a couple weeks ago, about a month ago or so. And he said this, please come to my house at any time after 7 to teach me the word of God. I'm a selfish person, and I need to get out of my life of what? Of sin. As people see these tracts, as they read them, they're seeing their own need for salvation, their own need for studying the Bible, and God is bringing salvation to people through this little seed of truth. Amen? Another guy who emailed in after receiving a tract, he said something similar. Please, come talk to me. I'm gay, and I need help to get out of my life of sin. People are serious. Amen? They understand their need for Christ, and they understand their need for salvation, and they're wanting to reach out. People don't know how to give these people help, and they're crying out. They're crying out for help, and we can give them the help they need. Amen? I got one more story to share with you, and this is about Joseph. Joseph lived in California, actually, and his mom was taking Bible studies from a pastor and a Bible worker, and one day the pastor and Bible worker came over to the house, and they were going to give a Bible study. And they came to the house, knocked on the door. She comes to the door, and she's fully in tears, just crying and crying and crying. And they're like, what's going on? What's wrong? And she said, my son, he's in the back right now, ready to commit suicide. Right now, as we speak. I don't know what to do. So they run back to the backyard. They begin to speak to him. They see him there. He's just crying, crying, ready to commit suicide. And they're trying to speak some comfort to him, but nothing is seeming to work. So the Bible worker says, I don't know what to do. Let me get a track. He pulls out the track out of his pocket and hands it to the young man. And the young man begins crying more and more and more. And he's like, what did I do wrong? I'm sorry. What did I do? But the young man was like, no, you don't understand. This is the third time in the last 3 days that I've received this very same track. And it's the one entitled, Does God Care That I'm Hurting? The last time in the last 3 days. God is trying to speak to me. I believe he does not want me to do this. I believe he does care for me. I thank you so much for giving me this track. He did not commit suicide that day, amen? Praise God for that. But not only did he not commit suicide, he also started Bible studies with his mom and the Bible worker and the pastor. He actually got baptized later on that year. And he not only got baptized, he actually went to a training school for evangelism and is right now doing the work of the Lord, serving him and glorifying his name. Amen? From some faithful church members who have been passing out a few glow tracts here and there. God will work it out. Amen? And God will save souls through a simple, easy, yet powerful seed of truth. Beloved, God is calling us today to be a light to the world. The world is in darkness, the world is sick, the world is dying, but God is calling us to share light with them. What does it say here? Let how many? Let every believer scatter broadcast tracts, leaflets, and books containing the what? The message for this time. God is saying, everyone can do this, amen? Amen? Can you do it? Leave a track on a table? Leave a track in a grocery cart? Anyone can do this. Let every believer scatter, broadcast tracts, leaflets, and books containing the message for this time. God's wanting each and every one of us to be active. This world is dying. This world is sick. This world has sin. As my brother shared in Sabbath school, like a cancer. Everyone's sick. But we have found the solution, and we ought to share that solution with those that are in need of healing. Amen? The Bible says in Revelation 22 and verse 2, in the middle of the street and on either side of the river was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for what? The healing of the nations. God said, I want to bring healing. And the leaves of the tree of life are for the healing of the nations. And these little tracts, they're actually called leaflets. In the spirit of prophecy, she says this, leaflets, printed sheets of paper, folded, containing the light of present truth, should be scattered among the people like the what? Like the leaves of autumn. She says, to many who attend these gatherings, these leaflets would be as the leaves of the what? The tree of life, which are for the what? Healing of the nations. God is saying, as people receive these little light packets, these little atomic bombs of truth, that they'll be healed. And the life will come into them, and the sickness will be turned aside. God is calling each and every one of us to do his work, and soon we'll see the results. She says, more than 1,000 will soon be converted in what? In one day, most of whom will trace their first convictions to the what? To the reading of our publications. God is saying, I want to bring a mighty harvest. I want to bring people into my church. I want to bring people into the knowledge of a saving Christ that will bring them out of darkness. But I need your help. I need laborers. I need individuals who will help me to share this gospel that they've received with others. And we will see the harvest. We will see thousands come to a knowledge of Christ and his salvation. You know, as Adventists, we're pretty biblically sound in our beliefs. Amen? We have a lot of different beliefs in the Word of God, a lot of doctrines, and we can be proud of the fact that we understand the Bible in the correct, quote-unquote, correct way. But God is saying there's many people out there that are in need. Many of you remember the story of the Syrophoenician woman who was begging bread from the Lord and says, I'll even eat the crumbs off the master's table. Can we at least give the people in the world a crumb? Amen? It might not mean a whole entire Bible study. It might not mean that. But at least a little crumb of truth, amen? As people receive that truth, as people who are dying for that truth, who are dying for a morsel of bread, a morsel of nourishment from the Word of God, people who are dying for it, will receive it and be so blessed and so healed by receiving a little bit of light from God's Word. Do you want to share that light with others? Do you want to see more people come to Christ? Amen? I know I do. So I appeal to you this morning. If it is your desire to say, Lord, I want to serve you. Lord, I want to be one of your laborers. Lord, I want to share literature with others. If you want to say that, I want you to raise your hand. You want to do that. Amen? Amen. Now, we have tracts right outside the door, so I expect that those of you that raise your hands, we're going to grab some tracts, and we're going to take them and scatter them like the leaves of autumn. Amen? And, beloved, I tell you the truth. We will see the results. Next time I come here, I'm sure of it. We'll have stories to share about how God has blessed this ministry here on the Big Island. Amen? He's already doing it. We've already gotten calls from here, from right here on the Big Island. And I believe God wants to continue spreading the gospel through that powerful, powerful ministry of literature. Let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Actually, we're going to have a closing song first and then a closing prayer. Amen? Amen. Our closing hymn this afternoon is found on page 369, Bringing in the Sheaves. Amen. We're going to plant those seeds and bring in the sheaves. 369.